6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, broadcasting live from Kays Valley Golf Course for the BMW Championship, which begins officially today after all the other pre-tournament activities. Now we begin today the tournament here in Owings Mills, Maryland, a beautiful place. Ed, I had an adventure this morning getting to work.
I heard. It's an adventure getting here in the dark anyway, on a good day. If nothing goes wrong, turn here, and it looks like somebody's driveway. It's pitch black. There's deer everywhere, and there's no street signs.
I think I saw six strays, deer.
That is.
I was driving the path that the GPS tells you to take, and it said 12 minutes. 12 minutes became 30 minutes. I didn't make a wrong turn, so something happened along the path. And I'm like, that's going to put me there about, no, I'm not, that's too late for me. Steve, at a certain time, Steve is our engineer on site. I get a little antsy. If I get here past 5:30, I get anxiety. So I said, well, let me turn back, because the anxiety air was already kicking in. So let me turn back. I said, go to, because I think Falls Road to get me here. So the 30 minutes dropped back down to, I think, 17 minutes, which still was a little bit out of my comfort zone, but it was better than that 30.
You got here.
Yeah, a little late for me, though.
It seems quieter than the pro-am yesterday. Less traffic coming in, fewer people parked. Kind of nice, actually.
Well,
can't wait for the tee off this morning.
You think it's less traffic because like the fans were coming in earlier to actually golf.
Yeah,
and now they're coming in to watch, so they tend to come in. So that means it's going to be more traffic as we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
That's fine.
I don't like that.
You'll be coming. We're going.
Yeah. How was your evening?
Quiet. Good. Slept a ton yesterday. I was tired, man. I slept a ton. Just watched the Orioles, and that was about it. It was quiet. Stayed home. Didn't do too much. Kind of a nice evening, actually, I think about it. Been running around a lot lately.
You know how it is when you got to travel for business?
Mm-hmm.
What is the day like the day before you travel for business?
Stressful.
That was my day yesterday. Because I'm a bad packer. And so I had to do some laundry first. Because I hadn't done laundry in a while. So I did some laundry to make sure everything I needed was clean. Then I had to clean the house because I hate coming home to a dirty house.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. So did not only the laundry that I need to take with me, but the towels and all those things, and made sure the house was. So that was me last night. Took anything out of the refrigerator that might be perishable, the stairs that might stick when I get back.
Is something you want to tell me?
What?
How long are you going to be gone? You're worried about food going bad.
A week. Like, I'm not talking in the freezer. Like, okay, the soup that I made the other day, it has chicken in it. Do you want that to sit for a week in your fridge? Yes, I got, you know, I gave some of it away and I got rid of the rest.
Thought it was something I didn't know. You'd be going to clean out my fridge.
No. I didn't clean out my freezer. I had some salsa in there that had been sitting for a week already. You know, I don't, because it'll stink when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that kind of day for me. Hectic, stressful day. Didn't get a chance to smoke a cigar, though.
Yeah. And then you're gone today.
After the game.
Right.
Houston and Boston.
Those two good cities.
Houston is.
I like Boston.
I don't like Boston.
No?
No.
Why?
I don't like Boston.
All right.
I just don't like Boston. I don't like anything about Boston, man. Most of the time, I don't like movies about Boston, except for a couple of them.
That one, there's a ton of them.
It's one. What's the one that where they robbed the bank? What was that one again?
Town.
He put that big kid.
I don't know.
That was recently, man.
It's the town.
Ben Affleck.
I'll take all those extensions.
Town.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one. So I got all day. Steve, we hear you on the mic.
Thanks again.
Steve, we hear you on the mic. It's all good, man. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I just didn't want you to repeat on the mic what you said about Joe earlier. I don't want that to go over there.
Going to smash you all into little pieces.
What you say?
Killing me right now.
No. I'm looking out for you. I didn't want that to go over the air.
How oh, everything right is going now? Out over the air.
And that's because if you notice, listen now. You hear nothing, right?
Correct.
That's because Steve's mic was on. We didn't know. We know the reason now. See? Everything's quiet now.
Sun's so coming me. Up. All's thank good me. With the world now.
See? All's good with the world, Joe. All's good with the world because Joe was grumpy before 6:30. Now that means, you know, the universe is balanced now.
Yeah. Don't touch your headsets either because that 10. Also all goes out over the air.
You said what?
Every time you touch your headset, if you move your headset at all, it goes out over the air. I'm doing that for the listeners.
Like this?
Yes, 100%.
Like that?
Anytime you touch it.
Joe, you tapping his desk right now?
I actually had that text typed out on my phone. I'm not going to hit send.
I love it. I love it. You guys go? You going to the game today, Joe?
I'm not. I went last night.
How late did you stay last night?
Until the end of the seventh inning, and then went home.
That's pretty late, based on what you texted me.
I had really good seats, so I felt bad leaving.
That's good.
In the club level.
With the boys?
No, it was actually my friend's dad has season tickets, but he traded in those season tickets for better tickets. And then we got the club level seat. So I was actually the fifth wheel last night. I was with two couples.
Okay. Nothing more being the fifth wheel every now and then. But when you're with the fifth wheel, well, when you're fifth wheel with great seats, that is a problem.
Yeah.
Fifth wheel with bad seats, you can walk around.
I was stuck
fifth
between
wheel with
both
good
couples.
Seats, you don't want to leave.
I was stuck. Yeah. I had a couple on one side, and each side I was stuck in the middle. I'm looking around like, all right.
I made a career out of that.
No, yeah. This is different.
Sponsored by Lion's Den.
Yeah, this is not that segment.
I do this on purpose now because Steven is sitting right across from me. He just he gives a disdainful head shake every time I do it.
Well, Joe, you went. You didn't stay for the end, but it was a great ending. Commissions Baltimore at 6:45, but on the other side, we're going to talk about that ending last night. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan. So the Baltimore Orioles on August the 13th finally get their first walk-off win of the year thanks to Jackson Holliday. Ninth inning, two-out single. Dylan Carlson with two outs gets the base hit, a key base hit. And, you know, we could talk about that, but the Mariners, one run on six hits in night one. Three runs on six hits. The Orioles have held them to four runs on 12 hits in the first two games of the series. Ed.
Well, we've had some really good pitching. Really good pitching. I mean, Trevor Rogers is looking outstanding. Kramer's putting up good outings, going deep. Rogers went deep yesterday. I mean, this has been very encouraging. You know, in the disappointing season, it's nice to see. Not giving up many runs. Sadly, they lost one. They gave up one. But they're still playing, you know, the pitching's really come through. And I can't believe it was their first walk-off of the year, though.
Yeah.
Man.
That had been talked about a lot, I think, lately because they had a couple of opportunities to get it, and they failed. Their extra inning wins have all been on the road. But it was good that they finally got it. Jackson Holliday, his first walk-off at-bat situation. He had never been in a walk-off situation before last night. And I thought it was great. Dylan Carlson comes up with two outs. He gets the base hit, goes right over the second baseman's glove. And then Jackson Holliday on a 1-2 pitch gets the base hit that goes in the corner. It was almost like, you know, you heard Jim Palmer say, if he gets one extra base hit to the wall, Dylan Carlson has enough speed.
Mm-hmm.
To score from it. And then a couple of pitches later, he hits one perfectly, almost as if he threw it in that area. It goes down the right field line, rattles in that right field wall area, giving Dylan Carlson just enough time to score and give the Orioles the win. So hats off to them. But the pitching has been outstanding. Last night, another performance. Dean Kramer on Tuesday. Last night, Trevor Rogers again goes seven innings, giving up one run on four hits, striking out six, walking none. this guy has been so good this year. You're hoping that it's for real. But the more you see him, the more you believe it's for real.
I believe it's real. It's been a long sample size now. He's looking really good. I mean, and he's faced a good team here. He's pitching well. He's consistently pitching well. His ERA is like 1.4. I mean, he's 1.43 after last night. He's really looking good, which takes a lot of sting out of Sauer's doing so well in Miami. But he's looking really good. And it's nice because now, you know, as we try to figure out what's next for this team, you know, you've got some people who look like you can rely on, like Rodgers and then Kramer and the like, and hopefully Eflin's healthy and after this season. So, who knows? I'm just looking. I hate to say it, but I'm looking at Sarasota 26.
His worst ERA month was June. He had a 2.87 ERA in June. That's because he gave up three runs against the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa. If you remember that, that's when the Orioles went up 8-0 and lost 12-8. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you were kind of worried in that because that was like his second start, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that was his second start. That's after the Boston start. It took him almost a month to get that start. And you were kind of worried because of that. Well, the reason why that's significant is that's the only game, number one, where he pitched fewer than five innings mm-hmm. and the only game where he gave up more than two runs.
Right.
Other than that, he's not giving up more than two runs the rest of the season. You see efforts of eight innings.
That's incredible, actually.
Yeah. The game after that, he pitched against Texas, went eight innings, giving up none.
Mm-hmm.
But then the game after that, two runs once again against Texas. He's been guy's been unbelievable.
Yeah. No, he has. He's been really unbelievable. And just and kind of quietly. I don't think people started to notice until a couple of starts ago. Now it's like, wait a minute. He's really, really pitching well. And I don't know if people kind of paid attention early because it was, you know, so distracted by everything else that's going on, the injury after injury and watching Stowers light it up and people complaining about that move and you know, all the negativity around it. But Trevor Rogers has been playing consistently well. And now, you know, if this was a full season at this point, you're talking about, you know, Cy Young Award pitching. If you have ERA is 1.43, I mean, you're not going to get much better than that. So, kind of cool.
Very cool. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And True, Wallace, not enough starts for a Cy Young Award. 11 starts with these numbers is enough to make you say, maybe this guy has turned it around and going back to the 2021 season that many of us remember when he was second in Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and the names you know, like Paul Skenes and Tarik Skubal, 2.13 ERA, 2.35. Of course, they're 23 starts, so they've got a legit sample size. But that's what he's doing right now. So he's looking. It's just really a pleasant surprise. I never expected this from him.
What's impressed me is there have been a couple of starts there where it was obvious he didn't have his best stuff, and he even commented on it after the game that he didn't have his best stuff. But he was able to get outs.
Yeah,
and that's what impresses me. When a pitcher goes out there with his best stuff and he can dominate you, okay, you're a major leaguer. But when a pitcher can go out there without his best stuff and he works and he finds a way and he comes out and you look up, he went six innings, giving up two runs, and he struggled to do that, that's impressive to me.
You're right, because you want to see how people react when they don't have their best stuff. And that's always a sign of a good pitcher. Because you're not going to have it every outing. And we've seen other guys. Eflin's done that. When he hasn't had his best stuff, but he still wins and he still pitches well. And knowing you don't have it today. But he gets it done.
So. You know, when you go back to the dugout, the manager say, how you feel? Not good today, Skip. I can only give you six. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you can give me? Six? We'll take it. You know, I know offensively, this whole year for me, like that has been Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson is not healthy. He's not healthy. I don't care what anyone says. That 14 home runs is just not – that core is just not right. But the fact that he can still have an 821 OPS and a 284 batting average with that tells me I'm impressed by that.
Yeah.
He's able to do something else and give you everything he has without being 100%.
Yeah, I mean, he's still leading the team and on base percentage, you know, batting average, on base percentage, RBI. Hits. I mean, he's leading every offensive category. The only one he wasn't was home runs and scores. Laureano had it and is gone. And Mullins.
Is he leading the team in triples too? Gunnar?
No,
he has four triples. Is that the lead?
Let's see. He's got four. Yeah, looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it should be up there in stolen bases as well. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. And I think he just went ahead of Jorge Mateo, which is funny because Mateo's been out forever.
It's kind of sad. I mean, that's how bad this team has been stealing bases.
You know, collectively, though, look at the total stolen bases, Ed. They have a pretty – it's almost like it's balance. Yeah. They have a pretty impressive number of stolen bases. They just don't have one impressive person.
Ain't that balanced. I mean, I'm looking at it, Mullins 14, Henderson 16, Mateo 14. Then it's like Cows are 6, Carlson 3, 2, 1, 1, 1. So it's three guys really carry the load there.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissioner's Baltimore at 6:45. We'll have Katie Griggs on later from the Baltimore Orioles. Lots of fans are frustrated over the fact that ticket prices and packages are changing. With how the season has gone, is there really anything she can say to appease this fan base? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan, broadcasting live from Cave's Valley Golf Course for the BMW Championships, which officially began today. A week ago, read from Baltimore Banner from Andy Koska that the Orioles were rolling out modified season ticket packages for Birdland members for 2026. They include 20-game and 40-game ticket packages to replace the 13 and 29 game. Now, according to Andy, the Orioles have contemplated this change for almost a decade. And when new ownership group led by David Rubenstein came in and they hired Katie Griggs to be the president of business operations, they decided to make this change. And as she says, to eliminate a quote, unquote, real or perceived lack of transparency. Now, this is what you get with these. You get concession and merchandise discounts. They remain the same from 2025. And the Orioles are introducing an exclusive Birdland member gate that will guarantee plan holders a giveaway regardless of their arrival time, meaning, you know, that long line you have, everybody else
first 20,000 fans, right? All that,
you also get guaranteed access for opening day and postseason games, and I don't think you had that in the past. Having said all of this, is there anything? Katie's going to be on a little bit later. I commend her for coming on like
me
this
too,
because she hears the noise. She hears the noise. I actually saw her at the game Tuesday. But is there anything that she could say today, in your opinion, Ed, to appease this fan base?
Probably not, because you know how fans are. They just, you know, they get angry. That's the fanatics. That's where the word comes from, right? So they're fanatics, and they're upset about this. Because, look, any time something goes up, if it's gas or eggs or bread or whatever it may be, people are furious, and I get it. Because, you know, people are struggling. The wealth gap is enormous now. A lot of people who work and they just can't seem to make ends meet. So this is their entertainment. So when they heard, you know, the ticket hike, they're like, no. So I don't know what she's going to say to make them happy, but it'd be nice to hear her explain the benefits, like you just went over. Have her go over them in depth about what do you get with the new, you know, new ticket packages and things like that. Because some of them sound like perks that people would love, because I was never one of those guys, except when I was a child, who like the giveaways, but people love the giveaways. I'm not a bobblehead collector.
Isn't it great? You don't have to stand in line now for
yes,
2 hours to get it?
So for those people, and it's important to them, I mean, every bobblehead I've ever owned is now in our studio, as you know. It's like, you know, Ovechkin.
That Dylan Bundy one might be worth something.
Dylan Bundy's up there. But George St. Pierre's not a bobblehead, but a little doll. I have all my bobbleheads or figures are in the studio because I don't collect them. But I know a lot of people do, and they love the, you know, the shirts and the hats and all the stuff that goes with it. So for them, I'm kind of amazed how people get crazy about this stuff. I'm sure you get it. I know you get it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, hey, Rob, could you get me?
Give me an extra one? No. Yeah. I don't have extra ones. The ones I get go to Robbie.
Yeah.
I'm not getting extra ones. Hey, can I get? No, I don't do that.
Yeah. Like when you're in the street, do you have any extra money? I carry extra money for other people.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
I'm supposed to make $100. They gave me $105. You want that?
Yeah.
Now, Ed, this is my take on it. Chris, you know Chris.
Yeah.
Season ticket holder, or what they call it, Birdland member. So for Chris to complain about it, I take it, because she's a Birdland member.
Yeah.
But someone complained to me about it the other day, and the way that his conversation was going, I'm like, are you even a Birdland member? So I asked him, I said, you have season tickets? He said, no. I said, Have you ever had season tickets? He said, no. I said, what are you complaining about? You get tickets from game to game.
Right.
Well, if you're not a Birdland member, I don't understand your complaint. Yeah. The Birdland members who are actually spending money, who this is going to change something for them. If you're not a Birdland member, this changes nothing for you. So why are you complaining? Just for the sake of complaining. It's like people who don't vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain.
Dude, stop me, stop me 1 second. That was my whole theme of when I had the show before we flipped to sports and I did politics and crime and stuff. I told people the rule was if you don't vote, you can't pitch on this show.
Exactly.
And then we had voter drives. We would go out and we would go out around the state. We went to Annapolis, went to Baltimore, obviously. We went around the state and had tables to register people to vote. And people came up and said, I'm 43, I've never voted because of you. I'm voting now. There you go. Then you have a right.
If the Orioles had a town hall meeting and you stand up and you're complaining to Katie Griggs or whoever else is there, first thing I'm asking is, how long have you been a Birdland member, sir or ma'am? I'm not. Why are you
right?
What is your complaint then? And this is a problem. If we have 100 complaints, and I'm just throwing that number out there, I wonder how many of those complaints are from Birdland members. Honestly. Yeah. Out of 100 people that's complaining. And we have so many people complaining. Yeah, we do. And a lot of those people don't own a season ticket package. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe, you said you read something on Reddit about Katie Griggs and what she's doing right now.
Correct. So there was a guy that went on you can have a subreddit for each team. So he went on the Mariners subreddit and said, Katie Griggs became Baltimore Orioles president of business ops in July 2024. Policies became far less fan-friendly upon her arrival. The latest is telling partial season ticket holders that they can't keep their seats in 2026. They're now for full season plans only. So all the Mariners fans are like, we had the complete opposite situation. Katie was a big part of implementing the value menu at the ballpark, and as far as I know, her expertise on the fan experience side of things was why she was hired in Baltimore. And now Orioles fans on their own subreddit are pissed that Mariners fans are defending her. and there's one comment that I think this is spot on by an Orioles fan. It says, I think for so many years under Angelos, the Orioles were run like a mom-and-pop shop and not a professional sports franchise, both in baseball ops and the business side. Say what you want about Elias and his crew, but they modernized some things under him, such as having a Dominican Academy, and the system is better even if the major league results aren't where people want them. And now they're saying, now that the business side is getting modernized and it's a down year, that people are just taking out their anger on the fact that things aren't getting run the way they used to.
I totally believe that. Because I think the new ownership, what was he in place, a year and a half? They're paying for the sins of the last ownership group big time. Where people just, at the end, say, well, it's different people now. It's different people. And I've said the same thing about Elias for the last couple of years. Like, people say what they want, and people are always going to complain about who's in charge. I don't care what the organization is. But the problem is he did what he promised. I don't remember him promising a World Series win, but I do remember him promising to, improve the international market, the minor league, system. All these things he said he was going to improve, he did. And I just, people, and the analytics. These were things he taught because we didn't have any analytics when he got here at all. We were way behind.
A couple of people. Our department was a couple
behind. Yes.
Let me ask you this question, Ed. Going in line with what Joe just said, someone said it was run like a mom and pop shop. And one of the biggest complaints from Oriole fans is they don't sign big money free agents. Well, when you run like a mom and pop shop, you're not making big money. When your business is mom and pop, mm-hmm. That's your finances, mom and pop. When you become a big business and start generating more funds, then you have more money to spend. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's the results of it. Not even you thought about the mom and pop thing, that Joe just read that. But if that's the truth, if that's the fact, they run like a mom and pop shop, then that's why you're nickel and diming everything.
Well, yeah, they weren't. That was one person's perception because they weren't. They had a great TV deal. They made a lot of money. So that's really misleading when they say that. That's a fan's perception of it running like a mom and pop shop. I don't know if that's actually the case. It may have been poorly run. But a lot of companies are poorly run, and they're not mom-and-pop shops. You see major corporations go under every day. They're filing their restructuring and bankruptcy and things like that because they're not well-run. So I don't know about that, but I do like this group better, honestly. I just do. I just think I like Elias. I like Sigma Dell. I think these guys are bringing a very different, just a whole different mechanism to this organization. And yes, it has not shown up on the field. This season has sucked. It's painful. I myself cannot wait for it to end because they're not going to the playoffs. It's tough this time of year when you know your team is out of it. And you start looking toward your football franchise. Thankfully, we have a really good one because it's an exciting season for the Ravens. But I don't know how people can, completely criticize these guys. To say, the people they brought up. Well, the people they groomed in our minor league system were top 100 players. Some of them were top. They were one of one. And they come up here. And maybe they haven't fulfilled, expectations. But every expert in baseball pointed to the Orioles. So don't give me this crap that this organization sucks, because everybody who follows the game for a living pointed to this team and said, that's good owner. That's, they're doing a good job. The minor league system is the best we have. The prospects they have are the best in baseball. So what do you want to do? Get up at the plate? Like, I just, after a while, it's like, hey, I don't mind people complaining, but you got to back it up with the facts and some decent arguments. And don't tell me, they were the last play. Yeah, I'm aware. I know where they are. I do. But there's the same team in 192 games in the last two seasons. But this year, they've had more injuries than any team I've ever seen.
Well, you can't talk about injuries.
No, it's an excuse.
That's not a part. Tell me why they're bad and you can't say injuries. I got into this discussion with a friend of mine whose sports opinion I have a great amount of respect for. But I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't tell me injuries aren't a big part of what's going down. Speaking of injuries, Zach Eflin, who's on the IL, says he's open to coming back next year. We'll talk about that at 7:45. Mm-hmm. But on the other side is Commissioner's Baltimore.
Yeah, well, I think Commissioner's Baltimore, since we're on the 11th fairway, with great view of this course, and this is a big deal. This is a big deal tournament for people who don't know. This is the next round of cuts in the PGA Championship. So I just wanted to talk about how this works. The FedEx Cup is it's a season-long points competition that, this is how you determine who's won. It's like any other playoff system. And this is another major event with a big cutdown. So I'm going to talk about how this works and who the favorites are.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan. We're here at Caves Valley Golf Course in Owings Mills, Maryland. A beautiful course. What is first tee time at?
9:21.
Wow, that's late. BMW Championship.
Yeah.
That's late.
Yeah.
What you got in Commissioners Baltimore?
I just thought since we're here, we should talk about this tournament, talk about some golf. Pretty exciting. I'm really happy we're here. This is, for two people that like to play golf, this is a real treat for us, I think. Beautiful golf course. You know Caves Valley's reputation. And that this is part of, this part of FedEx Cup. This is the real deal. So the way it works is, this is the PGA Tour, and this is the 19th edition of the FedEx Cup. And what this is, it's a season-long points competition. I think NASCAR runs it similar, where they have points during the season. And it culminates with the FedEx Cup playoffs, which is a series of three events to determine the champion of the FedEx Cup. So the way it works is the top 70 players in the FedEx Cup standings are eligible for the playoffs. And three events featuring a progressive cut with fields of 70, 50, and 30. This is one of those three. This FedEx St. Jude Championship was a field of 70. Now the BMW Championship field of 50, and the next one, the Tour Championship, is 30. So that means 20 people are going to be out. It's like a massive game of musical chairs. So I think it's very cool that, it's here in Baltimore again. It was here in 21. We were here then.
That was 21?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know what? I think that was our first event after COVID.
I think it was, because it was outdoors.
Yeah, that was our first event.
Yep. And so this is the big deal. This isn't some, rinky-dink golf tournament. This is part of the FedEx Cup Championship.
Well, it's not a rinky-dink golf course.
No, it's not a rinky golf course. But But I think so many people in our town, we have this kind of inferiority complex that we get nothing. We get nothing. We don't get enough. The Ravens could have, 17 primetime games. It's not enough. It's like, we get nothing.
No, then it'd be too many.
The NFL snubs us. Oh, we're 17. Oh, they don't want them to get any sleep. They want to battle their rhythm. So they're never happy. But this is a very cool event, I think. And golf, it's a great sport. And people that make fun of you haven't played it. You make fun of you haven't played it. This is the hardest game I've ever played.
Or you make fun of it because you can't play it.
Most of them can, yeah.
I can't, but I play it.
I don't play well, but I like to play. Yeah, I play anyway. Same here. I am never going to be good. I know that, but I love the game. I get introduced to it at a tournament like the Greater Hartford Open. I worked there for years, not playing golf, but as a security person for the CEO with a bunch of guys. And I learned to love the game, the whole thing, the lifestyle, the players. It's just very cool, I think. And you know, and you got the names you know are here. Even if you're not a real golf fan, you know who's here. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is here. Scottie Scheffler, who's playing like Tiger now, he's intimidating and just trash talking. He's the odds-on favorite at +220. Rory McIlroy, who we saw yesterday in the pro-am, he passed by on the 11th here when we were here. He is here. Tommy Fleetwood is here. Patrick Cantlay, who won this last time, he's won it twice, I think. Mm-hmm. Cantlay. So I want to talk about. Let me ask you who your favorites are. To me, I may even go with Cantlay because I believe people that are familiar with golf courses tend to play them better, and he's won this twice. So he should be up there. And,
why is it that I play at Rocky Point so much and I still can't master that?
You're getting there. You're getting there. Right. If there's a tournament, my money's on you because you're playing. And Ricky Fowler made it because he did, I think he did well at St. Jude's. And I just like Ricky Fowler. He's one of those guys, he's a fan favorite, popular guy, popular player, but somebody that never seems to just get over the hump. It'll just, I don't know. I kind of root for him just because. And who else has we got
here? Can I tell you, I could play golf all day, but I can only watch it for about 40 minutes.
Yeah, I can watch it. I like watching golf.
I can play all day, but you ask me to sit down and watch it, you got me for 40 minutes, then I got to go.
Yeah, I know. But Corey Connors is here. We had Corey on the show. Was it last week?
Yes.
They were Corey on the show. And,
nice guy.
Really nice guy. And I don't know, just kind of cool. You got all these guys here. It was exciting because I know when Rory passed by yesterday, I was staying with Kevin Fruman and from National Lumber, actually, from people know who he is. But Kevin said, hey, there's Rory. He turned around and was like, oh, man, there he is. That is him.
And he was about, 30 yards in front of us?
Yeah, he's right here. He just passed right by on the fairway. So it's a very, very nice event. And if you're coming out for it, please, you should. Weather's supposed to be nice. It's not too hot now.
And we'll be here.
It was miserable last time it was here. It was like scorching hot. Now it's not. Now it's the weather's beautiful. The course is in fantastic shape.
Put it this way, folks. You know I love hot weather. I was miserable.
Yeah. I have a picture on my phone somewhere with you, a towel on your head.
I was
pouring with sweat that day.
I was sweating through my underwear.
You were sweating through the towel. It was hot. Really, really hot.
And that's tough for me.
It was like take your breath away hot. But it's not that way now, so come on out. This is fun. And, I mean, our boss, Scott, hit the gift shop yesterday. Sam hit the gift shop yesterday. They have great merchandise here. People putting requests in just for a Caves golf shirt.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, and I think this is I hate to say an honor, but it kind of is. It's just nice to have this run through, the PGA Championship actually run through Baltimore again. And as I said, this will cut down to 30 players after Sunday, 9:21 tee time today. And so who are you going to go with just from a rooting interest here?
I want to see Scheffler continue to dominate.
So do I, actually.
It's just because I love greatness. I'm not going to say I'm a fan of his because I'm not. But when you are on the cusp of greatness, of that elite status.
Domination.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
And I want to see everybody chasing him. I think it's great for the sport.
I do, too.
I want to see another Tiger-like run.
Yeah, and that's what he's been playing like. He doesn't have the red shirt, but he's definitely playing like the way Tiger would play, where guys were just intimidated and coming out. But I think it'd be fun to see him win, although I may go with Cantlay because he has won it a couple times before. The familiarity is helpful in this sport. We'll see what Scott Jameson buys today in the gift shop. If he has, he went already.
Okay. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. It's Shohei Ohtani, the bad boy of MLB. We'll talk about that at 8:15. But on the other side, some Ravens fans are convinced John Harbaugh and the coaching staff just has something against Ben Cleveland. Find out what we think up next on the Fan.